Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit tonight, and it's no coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit falls out on Parshas Tetzaveh. In all the years, there's very few exceptions to that rule. Kemat every year, Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit falls out on Parshas Tetzaveh. So it's funny because Parshas Tetzaveh is the only parsha from Parshas Shemayis till the end of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, his name doesn't. It's not there. The Zohar points it out, but everybody who reads the parsha can figure it out. And the emphasis is that it's not that anybody did it to him, but Moshe Rabbeinu did it to himself. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for it. Moshe Rabbeinu, in next week's parsha, the pasuk says after Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that Hashem should save Klal Yisrael. So the pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Va'atim tisoch atosom." If you're gonna carry the burden of the averas of Klal Yisrael, then everything will be fine. V'im ayin, but if you won't, he said to Hashem a tanai like that. If you're not gonna forgive Klal Yisrael, mecheini nomi sifrucha asher kosavta. I want you to erase me from the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for it. He said, I don't want to be bechlal in the Sefer Torah. If it can't be that you should forgive Klal Yisrael the way I'm asking till the end. I want my name should be excluded. So the emes is that Hashem forgived Klal Yisrael, and it never came to fruition. But the Baal Turim points out that the klal of a tzaddik, it goes and it's niskayim even when the tanai is not niskayim. So the tanai here wasn't niskayim. Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, but at the end of the day, Moshe made a klala that I want to be out of the book. So Hashem took him out of a part of the book. He took him out of our part, out of Parshas Tetzaveh. So what's Parshas Tetzaveh that he had to be excluded? It's not coincidence. It's not stam. There's a reason why Davka Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem took him out of that parsha. So if you read the psukim, you should be overwhelmed by something that happens time after time in the psukim, and it keeps happening so often that you just have to. It has to bother you. I think the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu got pushed out of the parsha. He got pushed out of the parsha by his brother Aaron. I counted because it bothered me so much and I wanted to know what to do with it, and I didn't figure out what to do with it. But 37 times it says Aaron's name in this parsha. There's no, I don't think there's any parsha in the Torah that every parsha mentions Moshe's name. There's no parsha in the Torah that mentions Moshe's name 37 times. I'm telling you, you read it's Aaron and Aaron and Aaron, and the pasuk referred to him as Oso, as who. Doesn't have to constantly, but there's a constant Aaron and Aaron and Aaron, and he got pushed out. And it's understood. We know why, because the parsha is the parsha from the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna are granted to Aaron, and it says Aaron 37 times, and it says Ubanov, I counted 22 times. It says Aaron Ubanov, Aaron Ubanov, and it's talking about the Kehanim. So the parish of the Kehanim, Aaron got so much in there that he pushed Moshe out. Why did he get kicked out of the parish of Kehanim? So the emes is that in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, there was a conversation when Moshe was appointed the savior of Klal Yisrael by the Sneh, and he told him, please go save the Jews. And Moshe hesitated. Moshe didn't want to take the job. He pushed it off with this excuse and the other excuse, and Rashi says it was 7 days of one excuse after the next. And then it got to the point that Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the conversation, Vayomer Moshe al Hashem, Lo ish dvar manochi, I'm not a good speaker, ki kvad peh, kvad loshon. And then Hashem said, what, you're a bad speaker. Who makes people speak? I make people speak. I'll make you be able to speak. And then Moshe says, nah, I don't know. Shlach no biyashloch. I don't know if I could do it. And then, vayichar af Hashem, but Moshe, Hashem got angry at Moshe that he kept pushing it off. And Rashi says like this. Hashem said to Moshe, achicha Aaron, shehoye otzid lios Levi, velo Kohen. Your brother was supposed to be a Levi. Your brother Aaron was supposed to be a Levi. And you, Moshe, you were supposed to be a Kohen. Vakuhuno hayisi oimer lotzi smimcho. Vameata, from now, lo yihiye kain. It's not going to be like that. Elohu yihiye Kohen, vaata Levi. From now on, we're going to switch roles. Because of whatever you did here, we'll speak more of whatever Moshe did here. But whatever you did here, that's going to give you a certain oinish, a certain punishment, that the kahuna that was supposed to go to you, it's not going to go to you. It's going to go to Aaron. I'll tell you the truth, Moshe didn't know. Because look in the Medrash in this week's parasha, and the Medrash says, Kishabikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Koyin Gadol. When Hashem decided, Hashem told Moshe, you know, we're going to make something new, a new thing in Klal Yisrael, a new job, we're going to make a Koyin Gadol. So Moshe thought, Hoya Moshe Sover Shehu Nase Koyin Gadol. He got all high about himself. Not Gaivadik, I'm not saying like that, but he got all excited. He thought, I'm going to be the Koyin Gadol. Amar le'Kadosh Baruch Hu Leich Umano Li Koyin Gadol. Go and appoint for me a Koyin Gadol. Amar le'Fanav Ribbono Olam Me'ez Shevet Emano L'cha. From which Shevet should I look? Should I check for a Koyin Gadol? Amar le'Mi Shevet Levi. Ah, from my Shevet, Moshe said. Shevet Levi. Oisa Hashah Samach Moshe. Kach Shevti Chaviv. My Shevet. That's precious in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar le'Kadosh Baruch Hu Aaron Achichahu. Don't be so excited. It's not you. It's going to be your brother. And so from this medrash, I wasn't sure. You get a sense of disappointment. I wasn't sure. But then a little later, the medrash says clear. When Hashem said to Moshe, go appoint Aaron, two words. Heira lo. Heira lo, hey resh ayin. Ra, heira lo. Moshe was sad. He was disappointed. He was frustrated. And it's like almost, you know, for the Pashat Kashas, we'll just address the Pashat Kashas and put them on the table just so everybody hears them. The Pashat Kashas, I'm saying Moshe is the Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most humble man. When Aaron, the Pasuk says, when Aaron found out that Moshe is going to be the Savior from Klai, so the Pasuk says Aaron was Samach Belibo. He was so happy for his brother. And now Moshe finds out that his brother is going to be Kayin Gadol, and Heralo, he said. But I want to ask, maybe a little bit of a deeper kasha. What is it? What is a Kohen Gadol? What is Kehuna that Moshe wanted it so badly? Moshe was the be-all and end-all of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk is made, Hashem testifies, that Moshe was shakel, connected to Klal Yisrael. There was Moshe on one side and Klal Yisrael on the other, and they weighed the same amount. That's how chashim Moshe was already. Moshe was on the highest madrigas that a human being could ever reach. But there was one thing that irked him, that still he wanted above what he had, to be a Kohen Gadol. What's this Kohen Gadol that he had this desire for? So they have in the Geisha world this thing in sports, and I don't know where it came from, but Kimadum Ali, it came from here. I don't know who applied it to sports, but they have in the Geisha world this concept called a triple crown. They have in one sport, in another sport, you go the horse around, he gets a triple crown, and this guy has certain madrigas in his sport, and he gets a triple crown. And they have this like kill the highest madriga from all the achievements you could get in certain sports, the triple crown. So I don't know what's the pshat, the term they call it, the triple crown, but in Torah is the only place where we have an emes, a triple crown. There is a triple crown. What's the triple crown? The triple crown is merumos in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there were three kelim. There was the Arayin. The Arayin is symbolic for Torah. And there was the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is symbolic for Kahuna. And there was the Shulchan, that the Shulchan is symbolic for Malchus. And by Klal Yisrael, we have a triple crown. We have Keser Kahuna, we have Keser Torah, we have Keser Malchus. We have three crowns. And Moshe, he was mamish holding by the triple crown. Keser Malchus, he was appointed Melech. Keser Torah, it's called Torah's Moshe. Keser Kehuna was where he stopped short. So by him, he ran after this dream from the triple crown. That's what he wanted. So before anybody thinks to themselves, Moshe, you know, he wants to be the best, that's what he's looking for. There's a much better kasha. The better kasha is, he had the triple crown. Because the Medrash brings, and it's a Gemara in Zvachim, that the Gemara in Zvachim has a machlokes how long it lasted. But everybody agrees, either it was 8 days or 40 years. It could have been from this point until the end of his life. Moshe served as the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan. It was Moshe and Aaron hand in hand that they did the Avodah together. And Moshe was the Kohen Gadol. And according to one Shita, we'll take it mamash extreme, 40 years. From this point till the end of his life, he was the Kohen Gadol. He had the triple crown. He had Keser Kuhuna. He had Keser Malchus. He had Keser Torah. He had the highest of the highest, and nobody was going to take it away from him. So if he had it, he mamash had it. So if he had it, so what's Heralo? He got it. So what's he disappointed? What's he frustrated? So there's a pasuk in Bereishis. The pasuk in Bereishis where Hashem explains to Avram Avinu why Avram was chosen. The pasuk says like this. Hashem chose Avram Avinu for one specific reason. The pasuk says, "Leman itzave es bonov ve'es bnei beisoy." Hashem says to Avram Avinu, "I chose you not because you're Avram, because I chose you leman itzave es bonov ve'es bnei beisoy, because you're going to make it that your child and his child and his child are going to keep b'derech Hashem." They're going to keep in Torah, they're going to keep in mitzvahs, they're going to keep in what I'm giving you, all the things that you realize on your own, and that I'm trying to teach you, and trying to internalize, and pushing it deeper down, that you should push it to your kids, and that's why I'm choosing you. L'man yitzaveh es bonav es bnei beis. You see, in the whole world, by goyim, and I'll tell you the truth, at a certain young, naive point in my life, I had a kasha, that if all Jews are supposed to be like gdolim, like great, great people, so there's like, it's a terrible kasha to ask. It's a terrible kasha to ask, but we need to answer it. So why do we have kids? I'm saying, you have kids, you have obligations then. Now you're bachrim, you don't have obligations. You sit in base medrash a whole day, as much as you can. And you're sitting, and you're learning, and you're growing. And it's all, and it's just. And then you're going to have kids, you're going to have a family one day, and you're going to have so many obligations to support your family, to raise your kids, to help your kids. I used to see my rebbeim, they sat with their kids and they learned. They learned psukim, chumash, aleph beis with the kids. I said, chaval, these rebbeim that I saw, they were holding by learning the highest Torahs. And they're sitting for hours upon hours with the kids, teaching them mamish aleph beis, psukim. But that's a kasha we have to ask. Because if we're supposed to be the greatest, so why do we have this? The teretz is panshit. The teretz is, we just have to hear it again and again, because the tachlis is not you. The tachlis is not you and just you. The tachlis is Hashem has a picture of a whole family, a whole nation called Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't consist of one human being who's great. It's not Ka'ilu Hashem wants the Chazon Ish and everybody else should be irrelevant. That's not how Klal Yisrael goes. We have our gdolim, we have our leaders, but Hashem wants all. Hashem wants itzave es bonov es bnei beisoy. He wants the children and the children's children, and that you keep bishoymer b'derech Hashem. That it should never end. You know, we say in Uvalet Zion, v'lo nagila rik, v'lo neled labahola. We shouldn't be neled labahola. We shouldn't have children labahola. Labahola is without purpose. We shouldn't have children without purpose. I have a story. I partially want to apologize for the story, because the story is sometimes, when I think about this story, it's too extreme for me also. So I told somebody the story, they said, you can't say the story, because it's too extreme, and it's too extreme for me. But until I had a small makar in the Torah, and I'll tell you the makar, and that will give me rishus to say the story. They say about a certain mamish from the biggest gedolim, who lived in Europe in the time of the Holocaust. I'm not going to say his name if a person can't appreciate the story in the right way. But a certain gadol, they say, that when the Holocaust started and throughout the Holocaust and he survived, his ikr tefillah, meaning the you know that tefillah you say every day by Shema Koleinu again and again, because that's right now the only thing that you can think about, his ikr tefillah every day in all the tefillahs was one thing. He said, Hashem, if my kids are going to stay with you, with Torah, with mitzvahs, then let them survive. But I know that this Holocaust is going to destroy a lot of Yiddishkeit. It's going to destroy a lot of what we believe in and what we strive for and all the Torah that we knocked into ourselves for the last 2,000 years. I know a lot of this is going to be destroyed. So if my kid is going to stick with this, so let him live. And if it's going to be the other way, then it should be the other way. And that's what he used to daven every day. Every day about his own children. About his own children he davened this. That if the kid's not going to stay like this, so the kid maybe shouldn't stay. And it's not Kilu Achidish that he thought of. It's Pashat we saw by Avram and Yishmael. By Avram and Yishmael, Yishmael was Avram, he was Hashem, Avram davened to Hashem that keep Yishmael, and I don't need Yitzchak. If Yishmael is going to be good, so why do I need another son? Why do I need Yitzchak? And Sarah said, the kid's a bad kid, he sent him away. And not just Avram sent him away, he sent him away with a small jug of water and a little bag of bread. And because he wasn't with it. Because he wasn't who he wanted him to be. And I know it's an extreme story, but I want to stress the point to the extreme way. The point has to be taken the extreme way, because this, the belief in this world today that children should be able to choose their own way. Children should have freedom of, they should have their own direction. And it's true, when a child chooses his own way in life, he probably sticks with it stronger, and it probably goes more ingrained, and it might be true. But that somebody should have a havamina from a havamina to send his kid to the same schmutz that he went through, so that maybe his kid will choose the right path like he chose, it's from the worst kfira. It's from the worst kfira. Because as Jews, we don't believe that a child can choose, and it's so beautiful to give the child the ability to say, I choose better this way, to not go with Hashem, because that's what I believe in, and as opposed to, yeah, go with Hashem. By choose, it's, we daven v'lo neila de b'hola, that we should have tzetzo'enu, v'tzetzo'ei tzetzo'enu, o'iskin b'toira. That's our ikrit tefillah. Korach wanted also to be a Kohen Gadol. Rashi, it's a long Rashi, you should see it inside. By Korach, in Parshas Korach, in the beginning, Rashi brings, why was Korach so badly passionate about becoming a Kohen Gadol? So Rashi says, because he had a nevuah. He saw in the future, in a few generations, that he's going to have these spectacular, spectacular children. Spectacular doyrus that are going to come after him. They're going to be Nevi'im u'bnei Nevi'im. So he said to himself, how could it be that my kids are so phenomenal and I'm not going to be a Kohen Gadol? Because a Kohen Gadol symbolizes a Kohen, they got Trumas and Maisers, and their Iker Tafkin and Klaisel was to sit and to grow, to sit and to teach Torah, to sit and to learn Torah. So Korach had a kasha, it has to be, I'm going to be the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol is the one who creates this nation within Klaisel that pushes and motivates and creates Torah. So that's why he thought he also wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a Rashi. The Rashi tells us a scary, scary thing. The Pasuk says, when Aaron HaKohen was about to die, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take Aaron HaKohen. Kachis Aaron v'salozer b'noi v'hal oisam hor ha'har. Take him to his burial place. And Rashi says like this, b'divrei nichumim oimer loy. Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron the following, Ashrecha, you're praised. You're going to see your crown given to your children. Your keser kahuna, you're going to see it given to your children. And I'm not going to see it. You know, every year I see this Rashi, I'm confused. I don't know what happened to Moshe's children. But I see in this Rashi that Moshe had a dream for his children that didn't happen. I don't know what the dream is, and I don't know what ended up happening, but I know one thing that the Rashi says, Masha'ein ani zakai lakach. That I'm not going to have this schus to give over my crown to my children. Yeah, Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. And yeah, he got for 40 years or for 8 days, he got the kahuna and the kahuna gedoyla with the old amilas. But he didn't get the bon of Acharov. He didn't get that his children should also be Kohanim. And this irked him till the end. This bothered him that he said to himself, if it's not going to be also my kids and their kids and their kids, so then what is it even valuable for me? So that's one pshat. That when Moshe wanted so bad to be a Kohen Gadol, that his kid should also be the Kohanim and the Kohanim She'acharim. But what bothered me still is that what's the Midah Keneged Midah? You know why Moshe Rabbeinu lost the Kohen Gadol, why he lost the Kahuna for generations? Because he said one line. When Hashem appointed he should save Klal Yisrael, Moshe said to Hashem, Shlach no biyat tishlach. And Rashi says it means, he said, send Aaron. And then the next Rashi, what we read inside before, that Rashi says, because he said to send Aaron, because Moshe Rabbeinu said those words that you should send Aaron, I'm not going to go, Hashem took away the kahuna from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Pasha, what's the midah keneged midah? Meaning, if this is the pshat is that he just the pshat that he lost, that his kid shouldn't have the kahuna, that's what he got for saying you should send Aaron. What's the midah keneged midah that he said to send Aaron, and then the punishment, midah keneged midah, is that his kids are not going to be kohanim? I don't understand what the connection is. So I started to think to myself something else entirely. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that, yeah, Moshe was a Kohen Gadol for 8 days, for 40 years, but something Aaron had that he didn't have. The Gemara asks, what did Moshe wear when he was the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan? Because the Psukim say here in our Parsha, in Parshas Tetzaveh, that only the Kohanim are allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna. Nobody else from all Klal Yisrael is allowed to wear Big Day Kahuna. So ask the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so what did Moshe wear if he didn't wear the Big Day Kahuna? So the Gemara says, he wore a chaluk lovon she'ein bo imra. He wore a white cloak she'ein bo imra. Pashtus Imra means pockets. He wore a white garment, a white gown that didn't have any pockets. That's what the Gemara says. And then there's a Gemara. You heard the Gemara, you didn't hear the Gemara. The Gemara says, Maisa ben Ochri Echad, there was a guy, Shebo Lifnei Shammai. First, before he came to Shammai, he was over Achayri Beis HaMedrash. He was walking past a guy walking down the street. He passed by a Beis HaMedrash. Vishama Kol Sofer, he heard a Sofer writing a Sefer Torah that he said the following thing. The Sefer, when he was writing the Sefer Torah, started reading from our Parsha, from Parsha's Tetzaveh. He started to read the Begodim of the Kohen Gadol. And then this guy got all excited. Amar Halalu Lami, who gets these beautiful clothing? Amru Loi, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol gets to wear this, the Choshen, the Ephod, the Avnet, all these beautiful Begodim, the Tzitz. It's only for the Kohen Gadol. So the guy said, Amr Oisay Nachri Ba'atzmo Elech Ve'ezgayir Bishvil Shimuni Kohen Gadol. So I'm going to go and convert. I should be a Kohen Gadol. I want to wear these clothing. This sounds very exciting to me. I also want to be a Kohen Gadol. Bal Lifnei Shammai, he came to Shammai. Amr Le'gay Reini Amen Asher Tisimani Kohen Gadol. He said, Shammai, I want to be a convert. Make me a Kohen Gadol. So Shammai Kedarko, in his way, he says he took a stick, he banged it against the guy's head, threw him out the door, and slammed the door in his face. But then the guy heard about another Gadol in Klai Yisrael. Balifnei Hillel, he went to Hillel. Gaireini, make me a convert, Amanas, I should be a Kohen Gadol. Hillel said, no problem. You want to convert, I'll let you convert. But Amar Lei Kluma, Amidim Melech, El Mishi, Yedem, Tachsisei Malchus. How could you be a Kohen Gadol? You don't know Aleph Beis from Kohuna Gadoila. You don't know any halachas, you don't know any of the facts, any details. Go Beis Medrash, go sit, go learn the details from what it means to be a Kohen Gadol. So you're converted now. Now you're a Jew. You want to be a Kohen Gadol? Go learn. They will make you a Kohen Gadol. Halach v'kara. The guy went and he learned. And then he got to a pasuk. Halach kara v'kevin sheigia. V'hazar hakarev yumos. He got to a pasuk that says that any non-Kohen who serves in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, is chayiv misa. So he asked, Amar le mikrazel mi nemar. Who's this pasuk talking about? Amar le, Hillel told him, listen to what Hillel said. Afilu al David Melech Yisrael. Even David Melech Yisrael, if he puts on the Big Day Kahuna, he goes and does the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, he's Chayiv Misa. So the story continues. We know the end of the story. So he understood that he wasn't going to be the Kohen Gadol, but then he decided, okay, but I like to be a Jew and I want to be a Jew. But the Gemara is always appealed to me. He heard a pasuk from the Big Day Kahuna, and he got excited that he wants to be a Jew. I'm going to ask to be a Kohen Gadol. The pasuk says that the Big Day Kahuna is the kavurul tifares, that it's for glory and respect. But the guy has no other glory, there's no other respect in the whole world. He has to run to be a Kohen Gadol. The Big Day Kahuna is the only glory and respect in the whole world. I think if we understand for a second what the Big Day Kahuna and Befrat, the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, were able to do, you can understand everything real good. The Gemara in Erechin says like this: Lama nismucho parshas Big Day Kahuna la parshas Karbonus. The psukim talk about Karbonus are next to the psukim about Big Day Kahuna. So it teaches us loymer lecha ma Karbonus mechaprim av Big Day Kahuna mechaprim. Just like the Karbonus are mechaper on our averos, so too the begadim are mechaper on our averos. Vikis soynis mechaperis al shvichus damin. The mechnasayim are mechaperim al gilui arayos. Mitznefes mechaperis al gatsi haruach. All the different begodim. Avne mechaperis al hirur halev. Choishin mechaper al adinim. Eifid mechaper al avidazara. Meil mechaper al loshin hara. Tzitz mechaper al maitse az eponim. All the averis that a Jew can do. You know what a Kohen Gadol is? A Kohen Gadol is like a walking kapara machine. And the Rambam says, and the Gemara says, that the begadim only work as long as the Kohen Gadol is wearing the begadim. That the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, so it's a kapara. When he's wearing the choshen, it's a kapara. When he's wearing the me'il, it's a kapara. When he's wearing the avni, it's a kapara. The Kohen Gadol is like a walking kapara. I want to tell you something about life. I want to try to teach, to put down a yesod about life. And I'm going to start with the lowest example that by me is the most serious example, but I know by everybody else it's the lowest example, but you have to remember this is the most serious example. That a Rebbe of mine told me recently, he went to a mall, he went to a hospital, and to get to a certain hospital here in Yerushalayim, you have to walk through a mall. So he walked through the mall, He's walking through the mall. What do you see in a mall? You see maybe the merry-go-round, and you see the food court, and you see all the stores. And like every mall we know in America, there's nothing machudish in the malls in Eretz Yisrael. He said for the first time, he told me for the first time in his life, something was bothering him. He knew right when he walked in that something was uncomfortable by him walking in this mall. By the time he walked out of the mall, the machshava started to cook in his mind. And by the time he spoke to me, he had the machshava clear that he told me what was bothering him. And I don't know if this is going to bother us by that, and even though it should. But then it gets to a higher madrega. You know, we walk around in Eretz Yisrael. And it used to be Rav Moshe and all the Heiliger Jews who came to America used to walk around in America on the Lower East Side. And they used to see every day something, the scariest scene a Jew should ever see with his own eyes. They used to see Chil Shabbos Beferhesia. The Jews are driving on the streets, are opening their stores. They don't care about no Hashem and no Torah, no mitzvahs, and they don't care nothing. And we'll go, I know from you, we'll go to your extreme Madregas, what we call your extreme Madregas. And I'm not going to talk about the guy who didn't do well in the TIV, who this ends up happening to, that the case isn't so uncommon. But I'm going to talk about the guy who I heard about this week from one of the best yeshivas. One of the best yeshivas for guys out of high school like you guys, that he came out of this best yeshiva, and I'm telling you, this guy, they told me he made four siyums on not Megillah and Tainis, made four siyums on both Basra and both Metziah, and big hard mesechtas when he was in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years. And now he's walking around like it's also, nobody should think this is uncommon, you shouldn't be so naive. He's walking like it's very common in YU, that he threw off his yarmulke and he threw off his tzitzis. That's how he walks. Let's say he walks in YU and nobody stops him. Because I remember me and my roommate, we used to make a joke like this, and it's the saddest joke I could ever say. If somebody thinks this is funny, you have to cry for this joke. That a person could die. A person will die. A person could die. And there's not one person in the world who's going to come to his funeral. And I'm not talking about when his body dies. When his body dies, you're going to have Mirat Hashem, a lot of people come to your funeral. But when your neshama dies, not one person is going to come to your funeral. Nobody's going to care. This is how we live. We live in such a beautiful world, what they call a world from freedom, from political correctness, from that we don't care, that mind your own business, and everybody could do as he pleases, and I can't enforce my beliefs on him, and he shouldn't put his beliefs on me, and everybody has freedom of belief, and freedom of speech, and freedom of expression, and all the beautiful world that we live in. But at the end of the day, you know what this creates? You know what this makes? This makes, I'm telling you what I see, the saddest thing, and I'm telling you, to start it with, what you guys may seem, it may look like extreme, that the guys, they throw off the yarmulkes in YU with their friends. They're friends from yeshiva, from the Tiv Aryeh, from Reshit, from Shalvim, from all the yeshivas. They see them every day, and I used to see my friends also in YU. I used to sit in classes with them, and without the yarmulkes, without the tzitzis, and you're going to tell me, no, maybe you just didn't want to wear yarmulke, didn't want tzitzis. You're down the kafschus, you could be down the kafschus till the end, we all should be down the kafschus. But if what it looks like on the outside was cooking on the inside, then why, how could we not cry? But you know what, we don't cry. And we're going to go now, Madrega, back. Because when we see the same thing by Chol Shabbos, you know, we walk around and we see the cars going on Shabbos, and you think they're all Arabs. They're not all Arabs. You don't have to be so naive that they're all Arabs. They're not all Arabs. They're also Jews. They're also Klai Yisrael. They're also Klai Yisrael that it says about a Jew, that a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos. He's not a Jew. For a lot of halachas, he's not a Jew. For Shabbos Aveda, he's not a Jew. For a lot of halachas, I know the Terutzim. Don't start with me about the Terutzim. I know the Terutzim better than anybody knows the Terutzim, because I used to preach these Terutzim. They're all Tinokosh and Ishbe. All like captive by Goyim, and they don't know from nothing, and it's not their fault, and it's Ones and Shogeg and all the words that it's not their fault. And you know what? These Terutzim, they're right. They're right. And these people are not going to go one step into Gehenna. They're not going to burn, not their ankles are going to burn. For what we're going to burn, because we know the Averis, what we do, their ankles are not going to burn, because from what they don't know they're doing any Averis. And you know what? They're not going to burn. So you say to yourself, you know, they're not going to burn, so what do I care? What do I care? They're not going to burn at the end of the day, so what's so bad? My friend in YU walks around without a yarmulke, without tzitzis. This guy opens his store, drives a car on Shabbos, and the other guy, let's go to the extreme. The other guy, he just walks around in the mall, and he sits in the food court, and he might see a movie here and there. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. The guy has an neshama el kamimah. The guy stuffed into his little guf, his gashmi, his guf, is sitting a big, huge, fat neshama that's connected to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Nothing wrong that he sits in a food court a whole day. He sits smoking away, eating his sunflower seeds. Nothing wrong. What's he doing bad? This guy for sure is not going to burn in Gehenna. Forget Gehenna. Everybody's so busy with Gehenna. There's something called Olam Haba. You know, we have something we aspire to. There's something called Olam Haba. It's not just we're afraid of Gehenna. These people, you know what? They're not going to burn. They're all Einas. They're all Shaygit. They're all Tinaikish and Ishma. All the excuses they all have, but they're not going to be in Olam Haba. You have to earn. You have to deserve this. So we say, we walk by and the cars are driving. All these people are doing all these things. They're wasting their lives. And we say, you know, he has his way. I have my way. And we even say it's beautiful. It's so beautiful that I can live in my way that I'm comfortable. He lives in his way. He's comfortable. And we don't bother each other. This is, are we Goyim? Are we really, this is who we are? We're just Goyim. We don't care. We don't care that other Jews are not going to be in the same Olam Haba. Yeah, he'll live 80 years, maybe healthy. He'll run around that track. He's going to be from the healthiest guys, eating his whole wheat, everything. But he's not going to, after 80 years, then where? Not Gehenna. Yeah, not Gehenna. But Olam Haba, yeah, I don't know. You tell me. He's going to be in Olam Haba. You're striving, you're steiging, you're growing. You're trying to get there. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was sad that he couldn't be a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says that Hillel told him, Afilu David Melch Yisrael can't do what a Kohen Gadol could do. David Melch Yisrael, king, you know what a king could do, what Chizkiyahu HaMelech did? Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he put a sword by the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, all Jews who don't come to learn Torah, I'm going to push it, cut their heads off. And the Melech could do with force to make all Jews force them to keep Torah mitzvahs. But a Kohen Gadol, you know, forget the force. Doesn't have to convince, no kirov, no seminars, he doesn't have to force anybody. Kohen Gadol, he walks around, and what the Medrash says in this week's parasha, a guy walks into the Beis HaMikdash filled with averus, filled from bottom till top, all with averus. And the guy walks out, pashit, walking, shaking out, shakes out everything, and the Medrash says, walks out tzadik gomer. And that only Kohen Gadol could do. When Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, shlach no biyat tishlach, you send Aaron. You send Aaron. Hashem said, you're not a leader. You're not my leader. You want to make somebody else go and lead Klal Yisrael? So that means you don't care. To a certain madriga, whatever the dakus, the small fine line that Moshe Rabbeinu had this issue, that he got this einish, the small dakus that he had. But you're not a leader. And the highest leader, forget Ketzer Malchus and forget Ketzer Torah, you know what it means to lead Klal Yisrael? To lead Klal Yisrael. That means to make sure. To make sure with all your heart, all your soul, all your ramach, all your shisa, all the ivarim, all the gidim, to make sure with all your all, with everything that you are, to make sure that they're all tzaddikim. That they're all, not one less, not one is missing. They're all in the pack. They're all in the club from tzaddikim. But we don't care. By us, you know, you think I'm talking Kirov? I'm not talking about Kirov. I have no interest to talk or preach or advocate Kirov. Nobody in this room, myself included, should go run and do Kirov. I'm not talking about Kirov. You think, guys, oh, it has to be, I'm talking about guys. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about regular people. Like the guy asked me last week, after the Chabura, the guy asked me last week, that there's Jews who learn Torah a whole day and it doesn't affect their midos. And how could it be a Jew learns Torah a whole day and doesn't affect his midos? So these people too you care about. And don't lie to me. Please don't lie to me and tell me that you do care about these Jews, because I know exactly who you're talking about, and you know exactly who you're talking about, and it was up to you, you don't care about these Jews. Because you say these Jews are not good, they're learning Torah, and they don't have midos. These are also Jews, the same Jews who don't wear yarmulkes, who drive on Shabbos, that we care about them and try to bring them to Torah, so we care about them and try to bring them back to Torah. Because everybody's missing. Who's full? Somebody here is full. Somebody's complete. Somebody has all the madregas, all the tzitkas. We're all struggling. Who's not struggling? We're all perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're all struggling. So I need you to help me, and you need me to help you. But if we're not going to help each other, you know, the guy walks around. I used to cry. The guy's pashit. My chavrusa for Shana Bet in Nativ Aryeh. I'll never forget. He used to walk around without a yarmulke and why you? You know what this means? You know what this means? This means to me one thing. Don't tell me he doesn't want to be religious. I don't believe it. I can't believe such a thing in Klal Yisrael. I don't believe that a person could have a neshama and not want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The pshat, what I understand, is that he has a Yetzirah. I also have a Yetzirah, and we all have Yetziraharas. And he's losing to the Yetzirah. Somebody needs to love this guy. Somebody needs to help this guy. Somebody needs to support this guy, to show this guy that somebody cares. But nobody cares. Like I used to tell my roommate in YU, you could drop dead, and nobody's going to come to the funeral. Nobody's going to notice that you push it dead in Ruchnias. You could take the tombstone and plant it on your head, and nobody's going to care. And you know what? Sometimes we're in a situation that not just the pshat, they don't care, but they push us. And they push us, you know, put that tombstone and not getting good. And you forget about all that stuff. Because all that stuff, whatever it was only for a certain period of your life, and only for a certain time of your life, and only for that matzav and that situation. That's not Klal Yisrael. That's not what Jews are. I hesitate with all this because, you know, we're all fresh. We're also all fresh. How could we go and help the world and change the world and care about the world and machaper the world and everybody make tzaddikim? We're also French. So the Chafetz Chaim says, a mayritika mashal. The Chafetz Chaim says, you know what, there's a war, when there's a big scary war, they take these 17, 18 year old kids from the street, they put them in maybe 3-4 weeks basic training, and they spit them out so fast. 3-4 weeks they train them how to hold the gun, how to point the gun, and then they spit these kids out, and within a matter of a few more weeks or maybe a few more months, these kids are sergeants and generals and the highest levels from the army. Because when there's roles to fill, you gotta fill the roles. When there's positions open, you put people in those positions. So you know what? We're in the biggest war. We're in the biggest, scariest war. That nobody has to run so far. And so, you know, you just have to go Tachana Merkazit. You could go down to the Kaisel. You could go wherever you want to go. Pasha, walk, open the door. You don't have to go anywhere. Look out the window. Look out the window and you'll see what's going on in Klal Yisrael. And we don't care. He has his way. I have my way. Everybody's free and political correctness. And how could I impose myself on anybody else? I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody if somebody doesn't agree with Jewish concept or way of life. A Jewish way of life means I care not about me and not just about my mother and my brother and sister, but I care about that guy who I never met, but I know that his last name is Berkowitz. That's enough for me to care that I'll give my whole soul for that guy because I know he came from the same Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov that I came from. And I know that what it really means, they have these programs in the world today, leadership training programs. Sometimes I think what they do over there to try to make fun of it. I can't even think what they do over there in leadership training programs. Azaz shtus. How could they, what lead, Jew, I'm not talking Goyish. Goyish they do, and they're successful, and they do what Goyim are supposed to do. But Jewish leadership training programs that have nothing to do with Torah, that's mamish, I can't even think what even they try to do. I don't understand. What does it mean, a Jewish leadership training program that has nothing to do with Torah? You know what's Jewish leadership training program? That means Keser Kehuna, the Kohen Gadol, that I walk around and I make everybody tzaddikim. And a person could have that madriga. And you know what? If you affect one person, or you affect five people, or you affect the whole Klal Yisrael, it's the same thing. It's Shavu B'Shavu. It's all the same. I'll never forget, I'll tell you a maaseh from tzaddikim. I know a lady, such a non-from lady, with a passion. Such a non-from lady. And one time I went to her house and I asked her with covered wrap, with all due respect, I said, you know, I could eat, but I need to eat from plastic over here. I need to eat from plastic bowls. Because she didn't do whatever the issues were, that's what I had when I needed to eat, plastic bowls. And I'm telling you, 2 years later, I spoke with her and she told me, a muridika maisa. She told me she has a kiddie pool in the backyard. And she said there was a big kiddie pool she has. She told me there was a huge storm. And the kiddie pool filled up, and she went and she did tefillas kelim on all her kelim in the kiddie pool. Now, I don't know the halachas from tefillas kelim, but kipshuto, that's called a good mikvah. It has 40 saw and it's natural water, and she did mamash tefillas kelim like that. I didn't ask her not once. I think the only reason why it actually happened is because I told her, I'm sorry, you know, with all due love, all due respect, I care about you and nothing against you, but I have to eat from plastic. And by her, it was such a madrega that she went, mamish, 2 years later, and the kiddie pool filled up, and the first machshava she had in her mind, let's do tefillas kelim. Like that. And you have no idea, just by being yourself, just by making yourself, doing what the Kohen Gadol did to Klal Yisrael, by doing that to yourself, by making yourself clean and tar and kadosh, that you can mamish, it just flows to everybody else. The kedusha will flow. You know, we should all have bracha, all bracha, just bracha. That Hashem should give us this chus. The schus that to clean out Klal Yisrael. There's so much dirt. There's so much dirt just to clean out Klal Yisrael. But one thing we have to remember. When the car drives by on Shabbos, you don't want to throw rocks, you don't throw rocks. You don't want to scream Shabbos, don't scream Shabbos. But if you can't close your eyes and say Shabbos Kodesh, and say to yourself, this is not how it's supposed to be. And I have to help that Jew. And the lowest madrega, you close your eyes and say, Hashem, you know what? I'm going to do my all and I'm going to daven to you that you help that Jew. Because then nobody's stopping you. No, you don't have to throw any rocks. You got to scream any Shabbos. You close your eyes and you say, Hashem, you help that Jew because I don't know how to help that Jew. But if you don't care about the Jews, you're not going to help nobody. And that's leadership training program in Klal Yisrael. Leadership training program means one thing and one thing only. You make the whole klal. From the youngest to the oldest, from the women to the men, to the children, to everybody. No exceptions, not one man out. All tzaddikim. Shkoyach.